Is $3 billion enough to bring Sri Lanka's economy back from the brink? Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Warning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Sri Lanka has been battling economic breakdown for nearly a year. A foreign reserve crisis toppled the president and led to shortages and soaring inflation. Now, a near $3 billion rescue package has just been agreed with the International Monetary Fund. But many are leaving the country. The BBC's Ed Butler spoke to hundreds of people who are queuing for a passport in the capital, Colombo.
Everyone wants to go abroad and don't want to stay here because of the inflation and the political situation, because it's difficult to have a good life here.
I try to UK or Australia for nurse.
Do you want to be a nurse?
Yeah.
Are you a nurse here?
Yes.
You're trained as a nurse, so you're trying to get abroad. A lot of nurses are travelling abroad now.
Yeah, we can't live with that salary.
You can't live here with the salary you get.
Yeah, not enough.
So can this IMF deal turn that trend around? Will $3 billion be enough? I asked BBC correspondent Arshana Shukla.
That will not be enough, certainly, for a country that's dealing with a crisis of this scale. But it will do a bit to kickstart the economy. You know, there were a lot of economic activities that were stalled right now. The biggest being, for the last 1 year, since Sri Lanka defaulted on their loans, they were out of the loan market. Now, at least with the IMF fund coming in, they are back in the loan market. They can go ahead, talk to other creditors and get fresh loans.
Usually when the IMF strikes a deal with a country, it comes with conditions. Are there any austerity measures that the IMF is saying have to be put in place?
Absolutely. This deal, this money has not come cheap for Sri Lanka. The biggest condition put by the IMF is to boost revenue collection by the government. How can they do that? By raising taxes, which were till last year some of the lowest in the world. So now the government has raised taxes, direct taxes, quite a bit, about 30% or so. They have also cut subsidies on fuel and electricity, which means the prices of fuel and electricity that people pay have gone up. And this certainly is helping, especially the salaried middle class people here who have to pay for most of the things out of their pocket. So it is an additional and a double burden, especially at a time when inflation is so high, cost of living is so high for people, but it is one of the tough austerity measures.
Our correspondent in Sri Lanka, Arshana Shukla, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, let's do the numbers. Investors are still digesting the shotgun wedding of UBS and Credit Suisse. European bank stocks climbed higher this morning, but rating agency Moody's has downgraded its outlook for Swiss bank UBS to negative. Fellow rating agency S&P did something similar yesterday. Now, staying with Credit Suisse, the thing about these big financial stories is that they usually throw up new technical jargon, from credit default swaps to collateralized debt obligations. Now we have AT1s, which stands for Additional Tier 1 Bank Debt. People holding those bonds, which are basically IOUs issued by the bank, have lost everything in this deal. That means $17 billion of bonds have been wiped out. It's controversial because shareholders got something out of the deal, but bondholders didn't. It should be the other way around. David Benamou is a managing partner of Axiom Alternative Investment. He holds some of that debt.
Bondholders will not receive anything, and this is something which is completely unusual, to an extent that European Banking Authority has issued a statement saying that this could not happen in the EU. And I think what's happening now is that the market realized that the Swiss case, I would say, was quite unique and this will not be a template. But nevertheless, I think for the next weeks, we will still see some tension on this part of the bond market.
David Benamou of Axiom Alternative Investment there. The United Nations has given one of the starkest ever warnings about climate change. In fact, it's calling it a final warning. A report by the UN scientists said the developed countries of the world have all the tools they need to limit rising global temperatures, but the window of opportunity for using those tools is closing. So, how is big business responding? I found out what Lego, one of the biggest toy makers in the world, is doing. The company is aiming to replace all fossil fuel-based plastics in its sets and packaging by 2030. It's also opening factories in Vietnam and the US that will have something called a carbon-neutral run. I asked Niels Christensen, chief executive of LEGO, what that means.
You take all the things that come into the factory, then you manufacture everything in the factory and the final product comes out and you haven't added anything to it. The factory is not responsible for whether the raw material is carbon neutral or not, but everything that happens in the factory is. Now, the factory may have had a carbon emission when it was built. So when it's built and it's running, then it doesn't add carbon.
Another area LEGO is investing heavily in is digital. LEGO is now working with Epic Games, known for the Fortnite video game. The question is whether the company is playing catch-up with other popular building games like Minecraft and Roblox.
I don't know if it's a catch-up, but it's definitely an area that's exciting for us. And last year, you know, the video game, the LEGO Star Wars, Luke Skywalker, Sega was one of the most popular and one of the most played games in video. So it's not like we're not present. Children spend a lot of time online, not necessarily playing computer games or video games all the time, but they're there, they're chatting, they're getting together with their friends. And that's where they expect that a leading brand like us would actually be.
Well, I guess we'd better keep our eye out for more details on LEGO's collaboration with Epic Games and its environmental targets. Because since the toy maker has the physical and financial side of its business down, it's the digital and environmental where it needs to make inroads. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing. Our editor is Joe Critcher. And for more on that Credit Suisse story, you can visit the BBC News website. And if you want to listen back or even share this as a podcast, we're available across all the usual platforms. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.